නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ This is we are discussing Kajjaniya Sutta, which is available in the Kanda Samyutta, which is the connected discourses of the Buddha, and it's coming under the aggregates. So here Buddha gives definitions of each and every aggregate, and then he pay our attention how these aggregates are basically occupying our mind, basically disturbing the mind, hindering the mind, and ultimately, actually, Buddha used the term devouring the mind, basically eating the mind. Now we have discussed this in length with respect to four aggregates already. We discuss how this happen with respect to form aggregate, with respect to feeling aggregate, with respect to perceptions aggregate, and with respect to formations aggregate. Now what is remaining is the vijnana aggregate, that is the consciousness aggregate. That is what I hope to discuss today. And here, if we discuss first of all what is the definition that Buddha give here, or the function that he enumerates in this sutta about the consciousness. So Buddha says, and why because do you call it consciousness? It cognizes, because therefore it is called consciousness. It cognizes. So various things are there, among them it cognizes a particular thing. Now the given simile is quite easy to understand. Now it cognizes sour, it cognizes bitter, it cognizes pungent, it cognizes sweet, it cognizes sharp, it cognizes mild, it cognizes salty, it cognizes bland. Now suppose that you are eating something, and suppose you mixed. If you are eating, say, rice and curry, suppose you are eating, mixing various vegetables, various curries, and this and that, and then you prepare a lump of rice, and then you are now chewing it. So when you chew it, so you can recognize different tastes. Many tastes are available. Among them, you can choose a particular taste, and then you can particularly recognize that. You can particularly pay your attention onto that. So this ability, that means when many things are there, focusing onto one thing, selecting onto one thing, choosing one thing, and then dividing the other things and this one thing separately. So your selected thing and all the other unselected things. Now you are kind of making a kind of a division. So this is the function of cognizing, this is the function of consciousness, and that is what constantly our mind is doing. So there are so many, say, sights available, and among them we are selecting a particular sight and focusing onto it, more and more investigating it. Actually, we can't use the proper term investigating, rather we can simply say trying to gratify from it. As a result of that, we are simply going through it so that we can enjoy ourselves. So that gives a fair opportunity for the consciousness to establish. And on the other hand, suppose there are various sounds available, assume that there are music and various other noises. Maybe your mind get attracted to a particular music, and now you are trying to enjoy it, and basically that helps for the consciousness to get established. Suppose you selected a particular song, and now you are trying to enjoy it, more and more your consciousness get established there. So likewise, it is getting more and more deeply rooted there, well established there. Probably you can remember I have discussed the sutta, Upaya Sutta, that is also coming under aggregates. So there are, if you can remember that, four other aggregates are helping the consciousness to get established. Either form aggregate, either feeling aggregate, either perceptions aggregate, or the formations aggregate. Now here actually we are discussing say form aggregate. So different sights are there, different sounds are there, and maybe different odors are there. While you are walking, assume that you are going for a walk. At that time, assume that you may smell various fragrances, maybe fragrances of the flowers, maybe bad smell of something else. So different things are there. So among all these different things, probably you can distinctly recognize each and everything. And if you are more interested on one thing, then you can focus onto it more, and then your mind is fully attentive there, fully established there. So therefore the consciousness has a kind of a property. So when you select something, when your attention is focused onto it, so it is getting fairly hooked up there, fairly established there. Now it is starting to grow there. So the consciousness getting occupied there. And the story is similar for the taste. So as Buddha given as the simile, so many tastes are there. While you are eating, say various tastes are available, and you can distinctly recognize each and every taste. If you are interested on a particular thing, then you can pay more attention there, and your attention is fairly established there. Consciousness is fairly established there. If there are various, say, tangibles, so you can recognize them. Maybe heat, maybe cold, maybe different pressures. So likewise, if you go to the fundamentals, so those are the ones that we actually sense. But we can interpret, we can give various names to that. That's another story. Anyway, so we can select certain sensations, tangibles, and we can pay more attention to them, and the consciousness get established there. Actually, at the beginning, it may be a slight establishment, slight moving forward, moving closer. And after getting more interested, then the consciousness is well established. Similar thing happens in the mind. So mind may encounter various mental objects, and those mental objects we could be interested, and we may pay more attention to it. And as a result of that, now these whatever the we call mental objects, it could be a thought, it could be a feeling, it could be an emotion, so that starts to grow, because now we are pumping fair amount of energy, and consciousness is slowly establishing there. So everything is satisfied, everything is favorable. Now the consciousness is well established. Now this established consciousness, sometimes we can call it as patitthita vinyana, established consciousness, is what we constantly refer, or what we constantly experience. When we are seeing something, the eye consciousness, it is well established. When we are hearing something, it is the ear consciousness, it is well established. When we are smelling something, it is the nose consciousness, well established. Then say tasting something, that is the tongue consciousness, well established. When we are going through some sensations, it is the body consciousness, it is well established. And if those things are not very much established, then of definitely the mind consciousness, based on various mental objects, mind consciousness is established. Now you can see these are the six categories of consciousness, and they are fairly established. And again, another point is, now this establishment is fairly being supported by the sankharas, mental formations. If you can remember the last week discussion, so the property of sankhara, the formations, mental formations, is that it further and further conditioned, further and further fabricate or prepare already conditioned phenomena. Here you can see they construct the conditioned. Sankatang abhisankaranti. So things are already constructed, or things are already conditioned. What we are experiencing through our whole life is conditioned. Conditioned in the sense they are made up with various causes and conditions. Paticchasamuppanna. Now, rather than simply experiencing that as it is, we do on top of that so much of other additions, so much of other constructions, other fabrications, other preparations. And ultimately what we experience is something quite subjective, something we have already colored. It is not the original form, but what we have basically constructed. That is what we experience. Therefore, for the establishment of the consciousness, the function of sankharas are giving a fair support. That's why, if you can remember, Parisamuppada, the Buddha mentioned sankhara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya nama rupa. Because of these formations, consciousness get well established. It's a kind of a gradual process. At the beginning, it may be a slight sankhara, then you do more volitional thinking, and then ultimately even get trapped. Even the mind is now continuing with mental proliferation. Now you are basically out of your control, very much like you are a slave to that very thinking. That is where the consciousness is extremely well established, and no way out. Now you can understand that the support coming through the sankharas, and sankharas are being supported by the ignorance, avijja paccaya sankhara. Now, in order for us to do various fabrications, and so that the mind to get established, consciousness to get established, this the function of ignorance is also significant. So till the mind is subjected to ignorance, we continue to do fabrications. So very much like we are in a kind of a darkness. While we are being in the darkness, we can't see the things properly. As a result of that, many fabrications are going on, which is facilitating to establish the consciousness. Where basically a consciousness get established, that is where the name and form, nama rupa. So in various certain suttas, Buddha explained consciousness and name and form are interrelated, interdependent. That means vijnana paccaya nama rupam. That means because of consciousness, the name and form happens. And on the other hand, nama rupa paccaya vijnana. Because of the nama rupa, name and form, consciousness happen. So this is a very tricky point. Now, in the typical explanation of the Parisamuppada, we used to say avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya nama rupa, nama rupa paccaya salayatana, salayatana paccaya passo, passa paccaya vedana. So likewise, we continue in the ascending order. And on the other hand, say we explain the nirodha side, that is the cessation side. Avijjayatyeva asesa viraga nirodha, sankhara nirodho, sankhara nirodha, vinyana nirodho, vinyana nirodha, nama rupa nirodho, nama rupa nirodha, salayatra nirodho. So likewise, so we continue to explain the nirodha side, the cessation side. But here we don't pay much attention on to the interrelationship between the consciousness and name and form. In certain suttas, Buddha has highlighted that. For example, in the Digha Nikaya, the Mahanidana Sutta, Buddha highlighted the interdependency of consciousness and name and form. And another sutta is Nalakalapa Sutta. So there, Venerable Sariputta explains the interdependency of consciousness and name and form. Mahapadhana Sutta, there Buddha mentioned that how Vipassi Bodhisattva, how he was practicing just before his enlightenment, how he was practicing, and there he exclaimed that this consciousness and name and form are interrelated. So likewise, in certain suttas, so Buddha points out this interrelationship between consciousness and name and form. So it is on name and form consciousness get well established. So therefore, name and form is necessary. And on the other hand, without consciousness and its reflective ability, the name and form also can't get projected. So therefore, consciousness is also necessary. Now, to give you better understanding about this interrelationship and this the function of all these ignorance, sankharas and etc., let's get into a very beautiful simile. Actually, this is explained well by Most Venerable Katukurunde Jnananda Bhante, and I feel it's really explained the situation. Suppose that you are going to a cinema, a theater, and going there during the daytime. Now, in order to show the cinema, now they have to completely make the hall dark. Suppose now all the spectators are sitting, now the time is arrived, And now they are closing all the doors, windows, so that you can't see anything. Suppose that it's a perfect cinema hall. You can't see even the screen. You can't see who is next to you. It is pitch dark. Suppose that kind of a perfect situation. Now with this pitch darkness, now from the back, there's a projector. They are projecting a beam of light onto the screen. Now that beam of light represent kind of an image. It's a colorful image. So it's a colorful image constructed with various dots and whatever the pixels, and with various lights, different colors. So with that they are projecting an image, one image after another image. So we can say one scene after another scene. Suppose now we are looking at a particular scene. Now this scene is quite beautiful. Suppose there are two young couple. They may be kissing each other, loving each other, and so we get attracted to that. And we are being overwhelmed by their act, their acting. So we are fully deluded. And now what happened? We completely forget that we are looking at a film. We are in a loving world, not in the cinema shala. We were actually sitting on a chair looking at a film, but we forget it. We were completely deluded by their very live acting, and they are loving each other very beautifully, and we get attracted, and we also feel lovable. We also get attracted, and we lost the present moment totally, and we get completely ignorant, and that is how we are enjoying the film. So you can see, in order for us to enjoy a film, it is necessary to have this ignorance. So this darkness is a prerequisite. And then we are enjoying it. So we are in that world, in that loving world. Now suppose there is now kind of another person interact, and he may be try to say hit the lover. So then we get upset, and we may feel sort of excited, and now a fight is going on. Now we further get attracted. That's another scene. So previously kind of a lovable scene, now an exciting scene. So we can connect this lovable scene to the exciting scene. It's a kind of a continuation is there. So it is happening within our mind. Where one scene is properly connected, glued with the other scene. Now, assume now there are police coming and they are trying to settle the dispute and all blah blah things. Another scene. And we can glue this new scene to the previous scenes. So it is happening in our mind. Screen doesn't know any of this. It is simply reflecting. But within our minds, we can glue one scene to the other scene. We are the ones connecting it. We are the ones producing it. Now we know the story. We are enjoying it then and there. And this is how it is happening. Now this gluing is a function of craving actually, tanha. So it has certain properties like gluing. And then and there it getting delighted. That is why when Buddha is explaining tanha, pono bhavika nandiraga sahagata tatra tatra abhinandini. So when we are born into one scene, then we are born onto another scene. Then we are born onto another scene. So that is the porno bhavika. Nandiraga sahagata. So while we are born onto a particular scene, now we are being delighted there. And we are attached to it. Tattu tattra abhinandini. And then and there we are getting happy, pleasurable. So you can see, how we are enjoying a film. Now suppose all of a sudden, the windows are open, doors are open. Now what happened? Now immediately the whole hall get illuminated by the sunlight, and the sunlight being beam onto the screen. Now all the previous very colorful images appeared on the screen become discolored. Now you were coming immediately out of that lovable world. You may be coming out of that exciting world. You are in a entirely different world, but now all of a sudden, you simply come out of that world. Now you understand, okay, I am sitting on a chair. So the film completely stopped because of that light which is now projected onto the screen, not really projected, basically the illumination available throughout the hall, the sunlight coming from various, say, windows and the doors. And as a result of that, now the screen become kind of discolored and you feel dispassionate. You can't see very beautiful, say, lover and that exciting pictures. But what is available right now is kind of a discolored, faded kind of things. So you feel dispassionate about it. And whatever the excitement you had, whatever the enjoyment, delight you had, are all gone now. So your mind is somewhat equanimous now. So this is what actually happens if we consider this cinema. Now, if we now consider the consciousness and name and form and how they are operating under the ignorance and mental formations, so some similar situation is available. Now, if we consider our consciousness, it has a kind of a reflective ability. Now, you can remember what you have already done. You can remember what you said. You probably can remember what you have thought. And say, on the other hand, when you are reminding of someone, so his or her mental image may appear in your mind, various mental images. And if you want to remember or think about your house, a picture of your house, an image, mental image of your house, quickly appear on your mind. Suppose if you want to think about your husband, your wife, your child, your son, your daughter, whoever it is. Now a mental image may appear on your mind. So that means the mind has the ability to reflect. It's like a mirror. Say, so that is the function of consciousness, where it has the reflective ability. On the other hand, what is being reflected is nothing but the name and form. So it has some roots, it has some source, connectivity coming from the four great elements. Patavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayo. Now if you consider the house, so it is being built up with all these different elements. So those are the ones available at the fundamental level. But we forget that we completely are dealing with the conceptual level. We call it door, we call it window, we call it wall, we call it toilet, we call it veranda. So we are giving various names, terms, which are fairly conceptual, and we are lost in this conceptual home. Anyway, that is what appearing in the mind, kind of an image, kind of a mental image. Now, when such image appear in the mind, so we get attracted to that. So it is our home. What has happened to my home? Is it under fire? Is it whether it is under the threat of robbers? Or is it well protected? Is my security alarm functioning well? Now you are thinking about your home. Because of the home is the main theme of the mind right now. And now you are thinking of the home, and maybe you need to do further repair in your home, kind of renovation. And maybe you have to pay your rent. So blah, blah, blah. So much of things related to the home. Now, you as householders, you have many problems related to your home. So all these house related things are coming to the mind and getting occupied. And now you are in this house world, the world of house. Now, suppose you are somewhat developed mindfulness, you have somewhat developed vipassana. All of a sudden, you pay your attention to your body and apply a little bit of break without continuing this mental proliferation with respect to home. And now you look at your mind. Now you probably understood, okay, I was thinking too much about home. I was conceptually proliferating about home. And all of a sudden, you get a kind of a distance. So this is where the establishment of mindfulness. This is where the very much like you are disconnected, disenchanted from that kind of a say mental proliferation. So when you are able to do that, so kind of a distance being prepared from your observing mind and that mental proliferative mind. And as a result of that, that continuation of the proliferation fairly stop, it fades away, and ultimately it can even completely disappear and mind again appear quite blank. Very much like clear, clean. Now you have the clarity of mind. Now here what has happened is very similar to what we discussed in that previous simile. Now when the doors and the windows are open, a fair amount of light, sunlight came through them and projected onto the screen. As a result of that, previously a very beautiful, colorful images have become faded away. They have become discolored. Now here, because of our fairly established, say, wisdom, insight power of our vipassana, now we understood and these things are not real, and these are images. This is name and form. So I can be aware of it rather than getting deluded by it. So as a result of that, you get kind of a distant observation, disengaged observation. Now that what is appearing in the mind slowly start to fade away. Now again mind become fairly blank. Now if we consider the function of vijnana, function of consciousness, so basically when name and form appear, because of our ignorance we do so much of other fabrications, and ultimately we get deluded by that, we get trapped in it. So basically we were the ones doing it, but ultimately we get trapped. We become a slave, a victim of that very process. Now, that is why Buddha mentioned Mayupamancha Vijnana. The Vijnana, the consciousness, is very much like a magician. So it has various its own tactics. And ultimately, it may show something quite beautiful, attractive, and we get deluded by that. We think it is quite real. So therefore, Buddha sometimes mentioned what is really happening to all the beings except arahants, even for Seka Pungalas, even for trainees. So what happens is that Buddha mentioned anattani attamani passalokam sadevakam nivittang namarupasmin idang sacchanti manyati. So Buddha mentioned in this Dvaitanupassana Sutta available in the Sutta Nipata. So he mentioned anattani attamani passalokam sadevakam. Now look at this worldling, they being deluded, where there is no self, they perceive like there is self. Nivittang nama rupasmin, so they are very much absorbed into the name and form. So to name and form they call a person, they call a boy, a girl, mother, father, etc., etc. So to this name and form, it is quite real to them. Nivittang nama rupasmin idang sacchanti manyati. Idang sacchanti manyati, that means for them, so this name and form become quite real, quite true, and for that they give various names, and ultimately they get deluded by that. So this is well explained in certain other suttas also, where constantly we being trapped in the name and form. Now it is very difficult to understand this situation because we can't penetrate it. Now it appears inside the mind, kind of a projection, and it's quite attractive and we get deluded by that. We can't see through it. Actually we have to see through it, but we can't do it. We get quickly trapped in it, we get deluded by that. So that is what is happening. Now, and when we get deluded by that, in order to find it, in order to reach it, in order to touch it, we look at outside. Now the image is available inside, but ignorantly we are looking outside to touch it. Now suppose you are seeing a beautiful, say, flower. The flower image is actually happening in your eye. It's an inverted image, and the mind do various corrections. And now you do various additions. It's a rose flower. It's a beautiful color. It is a beautiful flower. It is really fragrant. And so you do various fabrications. Now you being attracted by that, and now you are thinking about it. And now you want to touch it. You want to smell it. And now you are reaching it, which is available in the outside. And what you touch is just the other kinds of elements. What you are touching is actually other elements, say the patavi, that's earth element, and all these other things. But your experience is quite different from what you are touching. Because what you are experiencing through your mind is fairly fabricated. It has your own value additions. Now, likewise, so if we consider what is happening within our mind, the consciousness is basically responsible for making this quite true, making things appear like true. They are not really true, but the consciousness do various other additions, etc., and now things are appear like quite true. And on the other hand, now if we consider the fabrications. Fabrications are constantly helping to establish this consciousness. So the established consciousness, patitita vinyana. So it needs somewhere to get established. That is the name and form. So this name and form can happen through all six senses. That's what I first explained, the eye consciousness, ear consciousness, say nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. Actually, they are the very apparatus which is helping for this name and form to get established. When we are seeing something, the eye appear like the or behave like an apparatus, and constantly it is being pumped with so much of images, and with that, with the help of those images, the consciousness get established. So these images are coming through the eye and ultimately appear as a name and form in the mind. So it's a kind of a subtle process going on, and it doesn't take long time. It is quite swift, it is quite speedy, so we can't quickly understand this process. That's why we get trapped in it. We can't really properly analyze it. We can't properly pay our attention to its sort of constructive nature, because it happens so fast. Now don't think that the Patisamupada will take several minutes to get its operation. Rather, with a fraction of a second, even before that, within nanoseconds, it is happening within our mind. And ultimately we get trapped. And what is available is actually ultimately the suffering. Now, therefore, Buddha mentioned, now the practitioner, rather than he is sort of accumulating these things, he is now trying to dismantle this whole process. Now, if you can remember when we are discussing fabrications, so rather than being deluded by that and being a victim of that very process, if we are able to establish mindfulness and look back, reflect back, how it has happened, how a simple thought occurred in the mind, or how a very simple image appeared in the mind, and then we have given some value to it, we have given another thought about it, and added another thought, maybe added another thought with respect to the past, maybe added another thought with respect to the future. So likewise, we were kind of weaving thoughts, fabricating all these things. Ultimately, what we are experiencing is this fabrication. Now, if we can look back, if we can reverse this whole process, then we may ultimately encounter basically nothing. There is nothing substantial there. There is no any inner core. There is no any essence. So if you consider the function of the magician, so he is doing various tricks. So we are getting deluded by them. I mean, we can't see them. Now suppose someone is going behind the screen and trying to find out what are all his tricks. Now this particular person is not in the audience now. He's not sitting in the audience. Now he is going behind the screen and without the notice of the magician, suppose he is now trying to investigate all his whatever the tricks, maybe the hidden pockets, maybe where the pigeons and all these animals are being hidden, so etc., etc. So different kinds of tricks that magicians are using, they are not real. They are trying to delude us. They are trying to make ourselves cheated. So if one can understand all these tricks of the magician, for him, it will not be magic. Because he knows these are quite cheating. This person is a cheater. He is trying to delude us, trick us. So this is a wise person. Now, if this person is looking at this whole magic show, for him there is no real magic show, because he knows what would be the next trick of the magician. Suppose that this person is getting expertized on all these things and he may understand, okay, what's next the magician is going to do. The audience may be laughing, clapping, whistling, and they are being delighted. But on the other hand, this person who is behind the screen, knowing all the tricks of the magician, have no such delight. So he is very much equanimous, and still he sees the whole situation. So this is the situation of a Vipassana yogi. So the practitioner, the insight practitioner, has fair amount of understanding about the tricks of the mind, tricks of the consciousness, how various parts, little parts from the past, from the future, being added together, glued together, and making a kind of a scene, making a kind of a story. So all are actually participating. The ignorance play a fair role, the formations play a vital role, the consciousness is where everything is now being reflected, and what is reflected is the name and form. So everything is fairly interrelated, connected. And you know, if we look back the cinema simile, so for the screen to get visualized, we need that light beam which is having the image. So image is projected onto the screen, and because of that, we, on the other hand, we can understand, okay, the screen is becoming live. So they are both necessary, they are interdependent. So screen is necessary, otherwise the name and form is nowhere to establish. And name and form, or rather the image is necessary, otherwise screen is not visible. So therefore they are interrelated. Similarly, if we consider consciousness and name and form, name and form is where helping the consciousness to get established. So it is on name and form the consciousness get established. On the other hand, consciousness has the reflective ability on which the name and form is reflected. Now they are interrelated. So likewise, we can understand the function of this consciousness. Now, Buddha mentioned our mind is fully occupied with this operation. So we are being devoured with this operation. Constantly our mind is occupied with this kind of all fabrications, establishments, ignorance, fully deluded. Now in the Kajjaniya Sutta, so therefore Buddha mentioned, one may try to dismantle this whole process. Apachinati no achinati. dismantles and does not build up. Now what we typically do is this building up, this whole little parts we are adding together, constructing together, preparing together, coloring together, and we are building up. But the Vipassana yogi has to dismantle the whole thing rather than building. And then Buddha mentioned abandons and does not cling. So the clinging play another role. I mean, whenever things are attractive, we cling to it. We crave and then we cling onto it. Now the yogi is trying to have kind of a dispassion, and so that not clinging onto it, not grasping things. Now that is where he is abandoning things rather than holding things. And who scatters and does not amass. Now he understands, okay, different components are playing different roles. Ignorance plays its one role, then fabrications play another role, consciousness play another role, name and form play another role. So likewise, he is somewhat analyzing things, he understands things within his very mind, and he is scattering things, not allowing them to sort of assemble, to amassed. Now things are scattering. And then Buddha mentioned, who extinguishes and does not kindle. Now, when things are amassed, when things are assembled, it makes a person, it makes a something to which we get attracted, to which we get deluded, and probably we might get angry even. So ultimately mind is burning. Suppose the scene, what we are seeing is actually very beautiful, quite attractive, and it is what we have fabricated, the result of the fabrication is quite attractive because we have added our own likes into it. And it becomes so much attractive. And now we are burning with lust, burning with greed. On the other hand, if what we are seeing is kind of cause for hate, then we are burning with hate. So likewise, so when we get deluded onto this name and form, ultimately, actually, we are the ones burning with various defilements. Now the yogi, instead of allowing the mind to get burnt, he is very much like trying to calm down, not allowing to burn. He is very much like trying to extinguish. So you can see the function of the Vipassana, therefore, has many attributes. So whenever things appear in the mind, rather than allowing them to get amassed or build up, so one has to sort of scatter, dismantle, and without being clinging onto it, one has to abandon things. Then the mind may become clear, mind may become clean, and you may again back into the kind of equanimous state. And not only that, then nowhere for consciousness to establish. Actually, we can discuss that on the next session, the situation of an arahant. So ultimately, the establishment of the consciousness being hindered. Establishment may not happen because there is nothing to establish. Name and form has faded away. So when name and form has completely faded away, it is being completely checked out. Now there is nowhere to get established. I mean, if you connect this situation to the cinema simile, so when that light, the sunlight coming from the, say, the windows and the doors are available, the very colorful, beautiful image which was appeared in the screen become blurred. It is faded away. It is no more beautiful. It cannot get the attention of the spectators. It is not attractive. So for there is no kind of established consciousness or very beautiful name and form, so that the spectators, their minds become quite equanimous, not being deluded. They understand now they were watching cinema. It is not real. It is simply a fabrication. So likewise, this kind of situation happens in the mind. So I think we can further discuss if we have further questions. With that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I like to open the session for questions.
If you wish to participate in the Q&A, you may send your questions via the chat or raise your hand. To invite Chita Devi.
Thank you, Jennifer. Now, Bhante, you explained all that very clearly. Now, when we you brought in the simile about the flower, and when we see the flower and we touch it, now that is the rupa part, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you said we established the nama rupa, so the nama part comes from us. Is that correct?
Yeah, we can say
or
so.
Is
yeah.
The flower, the whole flower, the nama rupa? Because I couldn't put the nama part into the flower.
No. Yeah. Only the rupa part coming from the flower, and that is also not the real rupa, not the real gross kind of elements, rather the kind of an image picked up from the gross elements. So therefore, what we see is kind of a rupa sanya, the sign of the element, sign of the rupa kanda.
Yes.
So that is what appears in the mind, and the mental part.
Yes.
Mental part is kind of a contribution within our mind, and that is the name part. So name part consists of five basic components: vedana, sanya, chetana, passa, manasikara. Vedana is the feeling, sanya perceptions, signs, passa the contact, vedana sanya. Chetana is the volition, then the passa is the contact, and manasikara is the attention. And these are the very primary constituent parts of name.
So that is vedana, sanya,
chetana,
passa.
Chetana, passa, manasikara.
Comes before the passa.
That is how it is being listed in the certain suttas, like
in the
Sammaditti Sutta. Venerable Sariputta explained what is name, and there he mentioned name has five components: vedana, sanya, chetana, passa, manasikara.
Sumedana, sanya, chetana.
Chetana
is volition, right?
Yeah.
Passa and manasikara. You are like, you only saw manasikara.
No.
No.
Here just the ignorant kind of manasikara, where I only saw manasikara. So
right.
Kind of an attention is there. So your attention, say, among many things, now you are very much attentive to a particular thing.
So basically, for my clarity, to confirm to myself, when we see the flower, that is the rupa that we are seeing. But then we transfer all the nama part, which comes from us, and then this whole process is called nama rupa, an established nama rupa, right?
Mm-hmm. It appears in the mind.
Appears
in the mind. Now, actually.
Yes.
Onto that, now that is the, we can say, the very, very first blueprint of that. But on top of that, we do further additions, further constructions, further fabrications.
Yes.
Now it is getting more and more attractive, and it appear like quite real. And then we get established, the consciousness get completely entangled in it now.
Yes. So the nama, that's what you said, when you first explained the nama, rupa, and the consciousness, vijnana, those two are interchangeable, you said, and interdependent, right?
Mm-hmm. Not interchangeable, but interdependent.
Interdependent, yes.
Yes,
sorry, yes.
Yes.
They are interdependent. Yes.
Yeah.
So we are all this from the six senses, we get all this input, and then the nama rupa is really formed in our mind.
We can say so, yeah. But fair contribution coming from the six senses, and they are the ones importing the image part.
Yes, yes. The rupa part.
Rupa part, yeah. Rupa part.
The rupa part.
Yes.
So ultimately, if we are able to, with developing our inside knowledge and developing wisdom, we can break that rupa part into the basic four elements.
Mm-hmm.
And then this whole process becomes less established, as you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Is that correct, Mark?
Correct, correct. And on the other hand, now that is where in the inside practice, you are coming with the kind of a temporary freedom. Say, you deeply understood the whole process, that these are not kind of, say, solid things. Rather, they are quite conceptual and they are with various elements. They are not compact. Rather, they are very much discrete. So therefore, I mean, all these understandings helps to minimize the attachment. So ultimately, mind become dispassionate, and ultimately, mind let go of the whole thing, and mind become unestablished. Mind become fairly unassociated with anything, anisthita, and not clinging to anything. Now, for certain time, now mind is somewhat not clinging on to anything. Now, while consolidating this kind of a state, you have to further understand what has really happened. Now it's kind of a looking back. It's kind of a looking back. Now you are in a different state. You have kind of a paradigm shift has happened. So while being in this new state, now you are reflecting back. What has really happened? Why I couldn't maintain this state? Why I being constantly getting deluded? Why the mind get already constantly occupied? So this is another way of reflecting, because you have some kind of a reference to this new state, the new freedom, new unestablished level. Yeah, then you get a better understanding, better perspective about this whole process.
Now, to have a sort of, I suppose we do experience some of that in our meditation at times, and we are having a good meditation or in a retreat situation and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But if we expect to have that sort of unestablished state, then one has to would I be right in saying that one has to be in a fairly high level of in the spiritual path?
We can't say completely high. Because even though one has, experienced that temporary, it's still the defilements are available, still the latent tendencies are available. Because that is why we lose this temporary state. But it's a kind of an eye-opening situation, by the way. If he's properly understood that situation and consolidated that situation, then it's a really eye-opening situation.
Yeah, what I mean is now, like someone who is in a state in that state all the time. I mean, obviously, people like us will find that very difficult. But people who are kind of very much into the in monasteries or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They probably can reach those levels if they are on a higher level of spiritual growth. Would that be right if I say that?
Yeah, they have to. Yeah. Have to in the sense, anyone.
Yeah,
not necessary to be in a monastery. That's the whole purpose of this discussion. One can have these insights wherever they are practicing. And if they properly understand them and growing on them, and trying to further and further grow there, then the mind, the natural state of the mind become unestablished.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you for your question. I'd like to invite Don for the next question, please.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Bhante, for today's call. Today's the Dhamma talk. I feel it is very timely for me, and I like to share one example recently that on this aspect, Bhante.
Right.
Yes. Actually, there was a some mental aspect in my mind I have been proliferating about last 3-4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was more of about a real situation, something real. And then, you know, as you mentioned, I can see from my mind, I am proliferating. I should not do this. I should stop. And I do.
Right.
But then again, when I have some free time or when there is some gap, that will come up again.
Mm.
Then I will go through the same cycle again.
Right.
Whereas I am clear that it is me, you know, it is actually a situation kind of impacted my ego, I would say, or my my concept,
right.
I concept.
Yeah.
So I can see it's I being attacked. Yeah? And then, so at one time I will go through and understand it, then of course it settles. Then again, it will come from a different angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, oh, this will eventually, how will I tell others and how what will others think?
Yeah.
And there were many iterations of cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the meditation, at least I can see come and go. I look at that. I think that is more for a good environment where I can monitor, but it comes out of the other time where it really disturbs.
Yeah.
Yes, and then what I thought was, okay, yes, like few times, even though I understand everything, I can see it is still like the concept of I being fighting back. Then I thought, all right, maybe I will, in this case, have a conversation with this person. So I did have a conversation, and eventually I can see that is kind of, you know, indirectly is me attacking that I concept.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that is what I should do. This morph, this my own ego trying to pop up always. So I did have this, let's say, discussion about it, and I feel that kind of helped me in a way, like you know, I concept was a bit more, I would say, like defeated for me in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. No, that's very true. Actually, Buddha mentioned this whole proliferation process is centered upon this I making. I am. So, I mean, that is very much like the center point of all the different streams of mental proliferations, which are being very much formulated or the originated. So if we are able to minimize that I making, mind making, I am, that conceit, so very much like we are attacking the very base, the very fortress of this whole proliferation. So then less and less proliferation may happen.
Yes, actually I realized that proliferation has reduced because as a discussion, as you mentioned, it was a conceit. So I thought, okay, if myself is being so strong, let somebody else see that conceit. Yeah. So then I realized, I mean, I'm not talking about any, this is complete outside person.
Yeah.
So with the person, when I have the discussion, yes, person may have, whatever the thought, doesn't matter, but at least I realized that from my point of view, that's what I have. So, you know, kind of let myself in conceit.
So there's a very interesting verse, if you can reflect, in the Tuataka Sutta of Sutta Nipata Pali. So Buddha mentioned, Moolang papancha sankhaya manta asmiti sabbang uparundi. So that Moolang papancha sankhaya, so the root of all mental proliferations, manta sabbang uparunte, using the wisdom one is trying to avoid. So what is the root? That is asmiti, asmi, that is the I am, I conceit. So you can see the whole measurements, whole comparisons, whole thought, I mean thinking, everything is very much like centered upon this I am, I making, my mind, etc. Now, if we are able to properly investigate that, and minimize that origination of this eye making and mind making, so that cuts off fair amount of mental proliferation. So actually, we, as you mentioned, when we are able to look at, or when we are able to investigate one path and minimize it, then another path might try to get established. Then we have to attack that path as well. When we attack that, maybe another path is trying to establish. So likewise, kind of a tricky process. Mind is trying to trick us, but we have to be very much vigilant, on guard, so that we are, I mean, not allowing it to happen. Very much like you are winning a war. So when you are attacking one direction, maybe intruding or the enemies may come from another direction. When you are paying attention to that direction, maybe they are trying to come from another direction. Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. And another point that you have highlighted, that now when we start thinking on a particular line, and even though we understood that and try to minimize it, after some time, again that same line get activated. Same type of thoughts get activated. Now this is actually properly highlighted and well highlighted by the Buddha in the Dvedhavitakka Sutta. Buddha mentioned, whatever a bhikkhu frequently thinks and ponders upon, that will become the inclination of his mind. Now, mind is very much like a kind of a, say, apparatus, which is very much we can program. So once we program it, even though we pause it for some time, and once we take our hand out, again it go on the same pattern, go on the same stream, same inclination. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank
okay.
You.
Can you hear me, Bhante?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, I try to be mindful during daily activities. I keep my mind closely associated with my bodily feelings, and I observe my mind while I'm doing that. I keep attention to my postures and change of postures. And in observing sensations like vibrations and stuff, for example, secretion of saliva, hotness, coldness, I observe them, but I do not separate them as, or separately identify them as Patavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayu, like that.
Yeah.
Is it necessary to do that? Or
I mean, not really necessary. Now, if it happens naturally, then no problem. But you don't need to invest time on properly mapping these. Now, you know, I mean, when you feel kind of a flowing nature, then, I mean, immediately if you feel, okay, this is the apo, the fluidity, that characteristics, I mean, that's fine. You are not putting too much energy into it. But other than that, if you simply say, okay, this is kind of flowing, that's enough. Because we are distinctly recognizing the characteristics of our elements, and it is not a must to properly map and say, okay, this is Patavi, this is Apo, this is Tejo. That's an additional burden to the mind. Not necessary.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, on the other hand, they are names. Actually, we are not interested about the names, rather we are interested about the practical characteristics. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
you very much, Bhante. Yeah. Tiruvan Saranai. Yeah,
Tiruvan Saranai. I believe that's the last question, Bhante.
Okay, fine. So I think we have spent a little bit more than 1 hour. And what we discussed today is very much kind of internalizing things. Yeah. Okay. So I have a question from here. There's one venerable connecting, I mean, participating to the situation. Yes, yeah.
Bhante, I remember when you were speaking the sutta,
Anathapindika. Yes, Anathapindika Vali, yeah.
In the sutta it says how consciousness should not be established on things like the five elements or
correct.
The five aggregates.
Correct.
So how does consciousness not establish on consciousness itself?
Consciousness. Now actually, we can't say consciousness is established on consciousness. Now if you refer, say, the question is, now there is one sutta called Anatha Pindiko Vada Sutta. So there again, Venerable Sariputta explained to Anatha Pindika that do not allow your consciousness to establish anywhere. Now basically, if we look back the Upaya Sutta, there is one sutta called Upaya Sutta in the aggregates, the Khanda Sanyukta. So Buddha mentioned there are very much like four categories where the consciousness aggregate get established. Either rupa, either that is the rupa khanda, either vedana khanda, either sanya khanda or sankhara khanda. So they are the only four where the consciousness aggregate get established. So Buddha doesn't mention there the consciousness aggregate also as another aggregate where the consciousness aggregate get established. So it is not like that. Rather, he explained only four aggregates onto which that the consciousness aggregate get established. Therefore, I feel, so consciousness aggregate needs either rupakhanda, either vedanakhanda, either sanyakhanda, either sankharakhanda to establish.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the four areas, very much like, say, four, what you call this, on a chair or
okay.
table. So,
okay.
Sorry?
Legs.
Four legs of a chair. So that is where the consciousness is established. But on the other hand, When we are explaining, if you can remember, when we are explaining to Anatha Pindika, Venerable Sariputta mentioned, okay, don't establish your mind on the eye, ear, nose, tongue, that the internal basis.
Mm-hmm.
Then he talks about the external basis, form, sound, smells, taste, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about the consciousness as well. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness. I don't know. I mean, maybe we are getting deluded sometimes onto what we see, and maybe that is the one very much like motivating one to and getting deluded one to establish. But ultimately, where consciousness established, we can categorize as the previous four categories, four aggregates. So that is very evident in the Upaya Sutta, available in the Sanyutta Nikaya. Khanda Sanyutta.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it is very clear. And again, Buddha mentioned another statement. If someone is telling that the growing of the consciousness can happen, coming and going of the consciousness can happen, establishment of the consciousness can happen, any other place out of these four, it is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of a, demarcating the whole situation. So that he is excluding all other possibilities. Yeah, yeah.
But so is it still that even the vijnana khanda needs to be let go of eventually?
I feel now if one is able to understand this grasping, establishment, ultimately the consciousness have nothing to get established.
Mm.
That is where what we call as the unestablished consciousness, the apatittita vijnana. And so that very understanding is enough for the consciousness to become unestablished, and then we have nothing else to do, basically. I mean, we don't need to separately have another strategy to deal with consciousness other than that very, very understanding, very wisdom. And I mean, avoiding grasping and all sort of things is fair enough.
And
yeah.
It's that non-grasping, which is like kind of taking away the fuel, that will allow even vijnana khanda to cease at parinibbana?
Yeah, you can say so. I mean, so actually we can discuss this a little bit more next time when we are discussing the about the situation of an arahant.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, now we have covered all five aggregates. Ultimately, what we need to cover, according to this sutta, is the state of the arahant.
Mm-hmm.
So there Buddha mentioned, I mean, he has nothing much to do because he has a very interesting statement by Buddha. So here he mentioned Arahant already abandoned and already scattered, already dismantled, already say extinguished. And now he is very much like enjoying it, retreating. he has done the task. So, I mean, that is how things have explained. And we can go a little bit further in the sense, discussing this further with respect to certain other verses available in the other suttas. So I thought of doing it next time. Okay, I think that's all for time being, and I'll wind up the session. So we have spent some time in discussing Buddha's teaching and trying to understand his teaching, and with that we were able to accumulate some merits, and we share these merits with all the past level relatives or with all the celestial beings and whoever in need of merits. And again, we wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, Nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata chamhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata chamhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata chamhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha jabummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha jabummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparam. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.